Wonderful name, and we embrace him as our eternal Father, and we worship him with all our hearts. Praise his wonderful name. We are again thankful for today. We are also thankful that we have with us our Pastor Clarence Gunter from New Divine Apostolic Church. He is no stranger to us here at the Apostolic Church here in America. We are thankful to have him ministering to us today. And we have our Pastor Henry from the Apostolic Church in America here in Miami is now ministering where Pastor Gunter would be today. And so we are so thankful to have Pastor Gunter. As I said before, he's no stranger to us. And so, Pastor Gunter, we are so happy to have you ministering to us today. May the Lord bless your heart through our hearts as you share his word with us today. May God bless you, Pastor Gunter. Pastor Gunter. We'll give him some time to try and get in. There is
Oh,
yes, we are hearing you quite clearly, Pastor Gunter. We've been having a little movement, but yes, please come in now. Praise God.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. And good afternoon, good morning to everyone. God bless.
Yep.
It's a wonderful day. It's a time of blessing. It's a time of glorifying the good Lord above, that he never fails us, yet he's still on the throne and he's taking care. He's the God who is preoccupied with us ever since the day he created man and delights himself in man. He has never ceased to be with us. And so we are so blessed to know we have a Father who is alive and who is watching over us. And so on another Sunday morning, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the triumphant victory that we have today. We are the only organism on earth whose leader and founder is alive. All other religions around the world, their founders are dead. But our founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the church, and the church become his personal possession, and he declared that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I believe that with all my heart, because from the time that he saved me until this hour, I know Satan come at me many times, but because I am under the blood and under his coverage, I am alive today. So we have a lot to give God thanks for. So as we come today to look into his word, to encourage one another, because we are really living in the last days. I don't know if we are understanding that the scripture is being fulfilled little by little, bit by bit. It might not be rapid, but the things that Jesus Christ said will happen in the last days are now happening, and it is perilous. But I want to thank God that I am not focusing on what is taking place according to Titus, to the saints, which I will be reading in a little bit. But we want to understand that this world in which we are living is our world. That's where God created us, where he placed us, and he left us here with power, with authority, and with dominion. We are not here on another man's turf. Earth belongs to man, not angelic force, not satanic force. Earth belongs to us. It is our territory. But what transpired in the Garden of Eden caused us to become slaves in our own territory. God saw it fit to come as a man to defeat the powers that be, to set you and I free, so that we will not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. The children of Israel were in bondage for a long, long time, and God listened to their cry, and he came and delivered them. But in spite of all the miracles that they saw, they were still bound under sin, or in sin, because all that the law could not do, it could not free them from the power of sin. Sin is no ordinary thing. It is not something that man can just get up and say, well, I'm going to stop sinning. No, it is the power of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ why we can have any talk on earth again. And so for those of us who have been set free from that bondage, let us remain. Yes, the Lord said you will face tribulation, you will face anguish, you will face all manner of sicknesses, and the devil will throw some darts, and not only darts, but fiery darts at us. But we must be of good courage. Don't give up. This world, this our land that God give us, is going to be purged of sin. But while we are awaiting that moment, the Lord said we must endure. Endure hardship as a good soldier. So I am thanking God this morning to be with you another time. The scripture that was read from Titus chapter 2 and from verse 10, it says, not prolonging, but sir, showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation ought appear to all men, teaching us that denying our ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to minister your word. We take it not lightly, because these are your words for us, instructing us how we are to live in this present world in which we are living. Father, it was never your plan for man to behave the way we behave. It is because of one act of rebellion and disobedience that has brought all of this upon us. But we are glad that you send our Lord Jesus Christ into this world as flesh and blood, born like every other man. But the difference between that birth, it was that he didn't come from earth, he came into earth. And so because of that, he was able to conquer hell, death, and the grave for us, and set us free, those who have faith. And so, Lord, we have to maintain it until you come back to receive us and to set this world again, as it were, before sin entered it. We give you thanks now, and we look to you to speak to our hearts, that we might be encouraged, built up, and edified, to stay firm and focused. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, this morning, it is important to understand, as children of God, that we are not isolated from this world. The scripture says, live in it, but we must not be of it. Paul was writing to Titus as he sent him to Crete to take care of the church and to set certain things in order. They were slaves, and he was not exalting them, thinking about the slavery that they were in, but to exhort both slaves and slave masters as believers to live according to the will and plan of God. Not to fluster themselves over what is taking place, but to continue to serve God in a manner that God can be seen. So we want to look at verse 11. Verse 10 says, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity. That word fidelity simply means faith in the things of God. And the exhortation that Paul was giving to Titus is to have faith, that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. For the grace of God, the grace of God is the favor of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. Grace, we don't earn salvation. The Lord God, through the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to be saved. God gave His only Son, that is the grace of God, that bringeth salvation. It hath appeared unto all men, teaching us this grace, this salvation, salvation offered justification, redemption. It also brings it faith, grace, and deliverance. So it brings it, the grace of God brings it salvation. And salvation, as I said before, it comes with a package. It comes with justification, sanctification, redemption, and the hope of a future. So it is appeared unto us, and it brings salvation to all men. It appeared to all men. Why is it appeared to all men? That it teach us that we should deny ungodliness. Now, that word really caught my attention, the word denying. It means to continue to deny. And the word denying simply means to declare untrue, to refuse to believe, to reject, refuse to recognize or acknowledge. We cannot look at this thing that is wrong and behave like it is right. If it is wrong, it is wrong. The wrong cannot be right, and the right cannot be wrong. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, you have to, for the grace come, bring it salvation and appeal to all men, teaching of verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly love, denying ungodliness. Brethren, if ever a time that the world is ungodly, we were once like that. Paul says, such were some of us. We were wired, we were aliens, we were foreigners, but now are we the children of God. Therefore, he said, put on Christ as a new creature in Christ. So we were, with the grace of God, come to teach us that those of us who receive this salvation must deny. We cannot be a participant, a partaker of the things that are wrong. We have to deny them. Denying ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Whatever is not godly, it is ungodliness. And Paul laid out in 2 Corinthians on a lot of a list. Lying, fornication, adultery, stealing, all of these, none of these things that when we practice them, we will ever be able to make it. We have to deny ungodliness. God is a God of righteousness. Every believer is transformed from ungodliness to godliness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So every one of us, brothers and sisters, every one of us have peace with God. We are godly people, so let us show the world what godliness looks like, not ungodliness, because the world is filled with ungodliness. The church must make a difference.
Yeah.
The early church, brothers and sisters, the world saw the difference. They preach against the things that were of the day, and they were opposed, they were crucified. Not only crucified, they were tortured, they were opposed. Because they stood for what was right. We today are compromising more or less, because when we don't say anything, then the silence is agreeing. Whenever you're silent about something, it's like you are saying, well, I am not touching it, let it go, I am a part of it. No, we are not a part of what is taking place in the world. So we have to deny it. We have to verbally go out there and let people know what you are doing is not right. If it's your best friend, if it's your brother, your sister, whoever it is, and it is not right, it cannot be right. So we have to deny these things. And people who are living licentiously before God, and you see it with your eyes, there is a saying that we say we don't should judge people. But if I see what you are doing and it is not right, I'm not judging them. I'm not telling you what you are doing is not right. What you do behind closed doors is different. I don't see what you are doing behind closed doors. So if I said, well, you are doing this behind closed doors, I'm only judging you. Because I don't see. It's only God who sees everything. So he's the right judge. But what I see with my hand, with my own eyes before me, and it is not according to what the scripture says, it is my right to come to you and say, brother, sister, I don't think what you are doing is right. It is ungodly. And the scripture said the grace of God appear that we might shun this very appearance of evil. Denying ungodliness. And people are ungodly in their actions. The Bible tells us that we are here as light in the dark place. It means that when the darkness, the light must shine. Because the light, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. The light always overpower the darkness. So brothers and sisters, this is a teaching that we must deny ungodliness. Not only ungodliness, but worldly lust. Now, there is nothing wrong in having things in our home. We lust. You have good lust and you have bad lust. God saying jealous over us. He's a jealous God. We must be jealous after the things of God and deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We cannot be like the world, brothers and sisters. We are in the last days, and all my business as a servant of God is to remind the people of God, the time in which we are living, that these days are pointing to our final day. When that trumpet sounds, whatever state that we are in, that's the state we will be in for time and for eternity. The scripture warns us in Ezekiel. It said, if a man do all righteousness all the days of his life and commit one sin, all his righteousness will not cover for that one day of sin. But if a man do ungodliness all the days of his life and repent of them and seek God and God save him, all of his ungodliness, that one act of righteousness cover everything. What am I trying to say? I am saying to us, many of us have been serving God for a long time. But if we make one mistake and follow ungodliness and worldly lust and get entangled into the world, that we don't have enough time for God. We give God 6% or 5%, and we give the other 95% to the worldly desires of the flesh. The flesh is demanding, but we have to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and let Satan know that we don't serve him. Sometimes you want to go and fast and pray, and the flesh is crying out, you want food, you can't this, and it's a wrestle just to fast for half an hour. Because the pressure, the lust of the flesh, worldly lust. Brethren, we are not only flesh and blood. We are body, soul, and spirit. And what God is after is our spirituality. Nothing else. So living in this world, or living among unsaved, we cannot do like everybody else does. Let people say what they want to say. They say you are not to do what you do. Yes, I'm glad that I am a nut. Because it is the nut that keeps everything together. It is that which keeps things together. I'm glad that I am. My nut is screwed on to a nut that cannot be moved. Jesus Christ. So I am encouraging us to deny worldly lust which are lost after the good things of life, that we go after them. We lost after it, after 5 Bible study, because I will give up everything else for my Bible study. I will give up everything else for my prayer meeting and to meet with fellowship. And I will make excuses for the things of God when I am going after the things of the world. We have to learn, brethren, that the God who we serve said, whatever you need, I will supply it. Sometimes the pressure of the world comes down on us so badly that you wonder where is God. And we tend to make alternative decisions against the will of God. Brethren, we cannot. We must trust God in everything. Don't let the worldly lust get to us to the point where we are giving up on God rather than giving in to God. Sickness will come. Problems will arise. But God says you must endure hardship as a good soldier. The other part, he says, not only should we deny worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Not in the one to come, but in this one that we are living in today. Look, we have to appear. We should live worldly love. We should live soberly. When you're sober. If you are intoxicated by the things of the world, you are not sober. God wants us to be sober-minded. Be sober. Be righteously. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It is a call to the believer to live righteously and godly in this present world. Why should we live? This is the question. Why should we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Why? Verse 13 says, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why this scripture is asking us to deny the world, because we are waiting the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with the hope that we have. Brethren, we don't want to lose on this hope. Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, he spoke to Thomas about his unbelief. He could not believe. He said, because you see me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Brethren, we have not seen Christ, but we have an encounter with him. So we are looking for him. He's real. He's not a friction. God said he's coming back, and he's coming back again. So we must live in anticipation of that glory, of that blessed hope. All that will happen in this world, don't lose your hope in the Lord. Our hope is sure. Our hope is guaranteed that one of these days, no matter what the pushing and the shoving and the disappointment and the problem here, your hope is sure. Because Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. And I will receive. receive you unto myself. We have a hope that is sure, steadfast and sure. This is not just an ordinary man talking. This is God. He promised us that he will come back. So we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Romans 9. Let me turn there quickly. Romans 9, verse 5. Paul says, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Verse 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. While we were in bondage, while we didn't have a hope, Christ came and gave us a hope, a blessed hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every one of us, every single one of us, one of these days, God is going to come back. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things under him. So, brethren, our hope is right. God sent Jesus Christ into this world that we might be just like him. For it is his blood, it is his spirit that lives within us, and because of who he is, we too shall be. Colossians says, he doesn't know yet what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. So the hope that we have in this life, where Paul was talking to Titus, of to speak to the brethren there, that they should live godly, and a hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. My brothers and my sisters, in Exodus chapter 19:5, the scripture says, God says, I chose you as a peculiar people. Exodus 19:5. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. As long as we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, we are peculiar people. Deuteronomy 4:20 declares but the Lord had taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. So, when you are chosen by God, remember, it is not we choose God. It was not man that come to God and said, make me some man. No, it was God who says, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. It is vitally important, brother and sister, that we understand that it was God who initiated the reality that let us make man, and the fact that he bring us into this world, he haven't, let I use this word, a strong word, obligation to take care of all those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Verse 8, it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The God of heaven, looking, knowing how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. So, brethren, we are called to be sober. We are called to live the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in this present evil world. We should not be drunken with wine, because we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Jesus came into this life and he gave himself for us that we might be like him. So I encourage us this morning. I am encouraging us today to deny ungodliness. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let other people bring to us all manner of stuff and trying to intimidate us. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let us walk according to the scripture, because this world is coming to its climax. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back, and all those who are waiting for this glorious appearing, not just appearing, but the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Brethren, let's adorn ourselves, not as others do, but according to the will of God. If we might not have everything that the world can offer us, but if you have Jesus, you have everything. Because no matter what a man may accomplish on this side of life, and I'm not telling you to fold your hands and lie back and say, Lord, me done. No, I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about that you have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on God's salvation. For it's appearing to all men, teaching us how we are to live. So let us learn and begin to adopt the principles of the kingdom. It's not easy. And Jesus tells us in John 16, in this world we are going to face some tribulation, brothers and sisters. But let us hold fast, living in this present evil world. Until Jesus comes, we must stay focused. Until Jesus comes, we must deny ungodliness. All the things that I want to feel that I touch that. I want to feel it. America is a great, is one of the greatest countries, I believe, in the world today. But America is fast becoming a pyramidistic world country where most of the people today, even in the churches, is living their life their way. And right now, I think there are 35 states in this country that legalize same-sex marriage. And they are saying that we cannot discriminate against. The church is not discriminating against homosexuality. All we are saying to them is that simple, you are wrong in your attitude, and when you stand up and defend the right, the ungodliness of man, the church will face persecution. Are we ready to stand up for Jesus Christ and declare that these things is not so? It is abnormal to behave the way we are behaving. And the church knows the truth. People are in bondage. And the scripture says, when you know the truth will set you free. We used to do a lot of things that were wrong. But the moment we have an encounter with Jesus, Paul, the apostle who writes all of this, this man was notorious in his activities. He wasn't a saint. He sanctioned the death of Stephen. He was a persecutor of the church. He wasn't living a Christian life. But when he had that encounter with Jesus Christ, and Jesus spoke to him, and he got saved. People were still afraid of him in the early church, because when they bring him over to give him rise and a fellowship, some of them backbone. And then Silas. Silas has to go and let the brethren know that brother Paul, he is no brother Paul, he is okay. He met with Jesus. Jesus changed him. And what a man he was. He was persecuted. His own brethren then decided they were killing him because he changed from his ways and began to speak the truth. Are we ready for what is ahead of us in these last days? Are we going to deny according to what the scripture says? Because these things are facing us. And when you see people acting in this form, we have to stand up and let them know God loves you, but he hates the sin that is influencing you to do what you are doing. It is not right in the sight of God, and his judgment is upon it. And every man that don't repent faces hell. So, this portion is very important that we look at it again. We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul said, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, not some, all iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is an inward, idiot desire that no man can touch except Jesus Christ's blood. It is what we're born with. It is the innate, hereditary nature that we are born with, that only God can touch from all iniquity. It's not iniquity, some more people think it's about witchcraft. It's not that. It's about the innate desire, that secret place that only God can see and know, where Satan seems to come with the pattern. Have you ever turned up, and even in your prayer sometimes Satan comes and try to interrupt your mind with something else that is not according to what is conducive, and you have to stop and rebuke him? He wants to get into that area of our life. And that's why Paul is saying you have to deny these things. When they come up, you see them, deny them, rebuke them, discharge them under the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, I encourage us today with this portion that we understand that the God of heaven loved us and came to deliver us, is calling us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously in this present evil world. First John chapter 7, and I close. First John chapter 7 says, but we walk in the light as he is in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Let us walk in the light. Let us not follow what the world says or what the world do. We are called as light into this world. Let us do so. If we say, verse 6 of the same chapter of 1 John 1, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Brothers, I want us to remember one thing, that Satan knows that he's coming from a bright future to a bleak and condemning end. We as God's people are coming from a bleak, suffering beginning to a glorious, marvelous future with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed forevermore. Satan knows that he has no hope. He has a bleak ending. But you and I, we have a glorious future. We are coming from a bleak beginning to a glorious future with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our end is blessing, because the scripture says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners, that sitteth in the seat of his counsel. But let his delight be in the Lord, and in his God, doeth he meditate day and night. this man shall be like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf will not wither, and whatsoever you do, you prosper. The Christian life is a life to live. It has all blessings at the end of the day. When the breath leaves my body, I can't carry all of the material stuff and all the clothes that I buy and all the things that I buy and have here to help me along. I will not carry one, but if one thing he can carry with us, the hope of the glorious gospel that Jesus gave us. And the scripture says, this hath appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly love, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Father, we bow our hearts to you, helping us, as Paul wrote to Titus, to minister to the saints at Crete, because obviously they were getting out of hand. But today, Lord God, we are here, still here in this world. Some of us is going through difficulties, pain, difficult financial settings, and all manner of things that the devil throw at us. But help us, Lord, to be sober-minded. Help us to remember that your promises are yea and amen. Whatever you give us, the devil cannot take it away. So give us faith and confidence to know that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. They will form, but they will not prosper. We can't stop them from forming, Lord God. But you will deliver us from them. And so, God, we pray today that your word will find lodgment in our hearts, that we will never be discouraged over what is taking place, but we must take our stand and stand up for you, Lord, because your word tells us if we lose our life by your sake, we shall find it. But he that loveth his life and loses it will never find it. Father, you give us your life to live. It's not our life we are called to live anymore. It's your life we are called to live. So help us, Lord. You are protective of your own life. And whoever carries you in our body by the Holy Ghost, we are sealed and signed. And no matter what the devil does, we are unstoppable. And so we just commit your people into your hand. We know, Lord God, we are in our time. We are in perilous times. And you said, the songwriter declared, more stern will grow the conflict as it near our Lord's return. God Almighty, we pray today that you will strengthen your people, that you go back through these words again and read them and inwardly digest them, knowing that you cannot fail. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Because of you, we are alive and we have a bright hope. We have a blessed future awaiting us, Lord God, better than what we have and where we started. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for having me.